Amen. God bless you all. Thank you. So, we are going to continue tonight. Amen. With the study of great women of the Bible. And, you know, there are these women mentioned by name in the Bible. And I thought, okay, Deborah would be next. But we'll stop by Aksa first. She was Caleb's daughter. And we'll just do a quick brief thing on that. And then my wife, another great woman of the Bible, I'm sure written down in heaven, she mentioned something to me. And I thought, oh my goodness, I've never seen that before. And so we're not just going to briefly mention Aksa in the Bible. We're going to do a little Bible study tonight on this situation that we're going to find in Joshua chapter 15. At least that's where we're going to start. Okay, and we're going to background this a bit. But we'll start here. Oh, you can take it as a text if you want to stand. You don't have to stand, but I'm standing. So, verse 16, it says, "And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath's scepter and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksa his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass. And Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This is the inheritance of the children of Judah according to their families." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this word to us, and that we could learn something that would draw us closer to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seats. So here's the thing that's really interesting. All right? Because we know the story of Caleb, and we're going to get into Aksa. But before, how many know where was Caleb's inheritance? There's a mountain. Okay, and we find that back in Joshua chapter 14. It's the previous chapter. Okay. It says, and we'll read the whole thing because this is exciting. All right. How many know what Joshua means? How many, except for Brother Don, who's answering all the questions at the moment? That's okay. Give the others a chance, all right? he's just trying to set a good example for your teenagers. It's like you shouldn't be trying to shy and hide away from the questions. You should be at the front of the class. Caleb, what does Caleb mean? Anyone? Interesting. Caleb, there's some debate, but most commonly they say Caleb means dog. Okay? And so that's really interesting now, because then you can take from that. You remember how Jesus said to that Syrophoenician woman, it's not good to take the children's food and give it to the dogs. Okay? So right there, you have a picture of Jehovah Savior and the dog, who are the two that inherit the land. Okay? So you can inherit the land if you're Jewish or if you're Gentile. In fact, there's some commentaries that say Caleb was a Gentile, was adopted into the tribe of Judah. I don't know how true that is. But I'm just going to say, all right, there's a type there of the prophet and the follower of the Jew and the Gentile all coming into the promised land. faithful to the commandment, faithful to God, and he had true faith. Brothers and sisters, I mentioned this to Brother Don. You remember when he had his first service, and he's like, we've got three pillars, faith, hope, and charity. And I thought, that's really interesting. Because at the time, we had Sister Charity, we had two Sister Hopes, but we had no Sister Faith. Okay? And the faith pillar is the smallest one in here, if we look at it like that one. And could it be a time where now God is calling us and saying, you got charity. This is one of the most loving fellowships I've ever been in. Not that I've been in that many, but the love here is wonderful. Okay? We got hope. We believe the word of God, but not in a way that is producing it in our lives in the same way that faith would. You see? The difference between hope and faith. If you get in the prayer line and you say, if that man prays for me, I will be healed. That's a position of hope. Okay? Faith for your healing says, I'm healed. I don't even have a prayer line. Who needs a prayer line? I'm healed. All right? There's not one of us here who doesn't believe God can do anything for us. Okay? We preach it. We minister it. We believe it. We sing it. Okay? But how many of us here are saying, I don't need God to do anything for me because he's already done it for me. I've already got it. Yeah? I don't need to have it. I've already got it. That's the difference between hope and faith. God can do anything. God can do anything for me. That's all hope positions. Faith is God's already done it. Okay? So, Caleb, man of faith, he didn't look at the giants. He was like, God said it. Ha, we've just walked through the land. It's really nice. Let's take it. So we want to move into that position of faith. All right. And he said, thou knowest, verse 6 of chapter 14, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. I brought him the word again as it was in my heart. Okay? Interesting, right? The word was in his heart to bring him and said, oh, this is going to be easy. Look at this. Everyone else's word was in their eyes. Oh, we saw the giants. But his word was in his heart because God had put something in his heart. And so everything he saw through the word that was in his heart. Okay? Yeah, that's good. I saw this. I'm excited. I thought, I'm going to preach a little bit tonight. All right? I'm going to preach tonight, and yeah, good. So, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. May we be Caleb today. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou wast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85. Yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. All right. It's coming, folks. The war is coming. All right. I've made my room fire. Some of you have seen it. Some of you are going to see it. Okay. The swords that we're going to get into that, but not tonight. Ah, there's too much exciting stuff in the Bible. So, strong for war. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, the giants, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I'll be able to drive them out, as the Lord had said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephthunun, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephthunun, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. All right, so Hebron. Yeah. You can do that in your own Bible study. I'm going to do okay. It is cool, okay? It is nice. All right. And the thing is, and that brings up an interesting point. The things that are important in Scripture, everything's important in Scripture. But God sometimes is going to punctuate certain things by repeating them through the Scripture. And we can say, okay, God didn't just want that in the Scripture one time. He wanted it twice or three times or four times or however many times you see it in the Scripture. And so these things we're going to look at and we're going to say, why did God put that in the Scripture so many times? What's in there for me? All right, because this is our land. This is our promised land. You look through it and you say, aha, there's something in there for me. And I have been given it by God. And I have something in my heart that says, this is my land. Get off my mountain, giants. I'm coming for it. Okay? But Hebron is not just any old place in the Bible. It's not just any old mountain in the Bible. Okay, we first find Hebron in Genesis chapter 13. Do you want your possession? Do you want your Hebron? Okay. So, Genesis 13, 14. And we know this story. Abraham separates from Lot. All right, there's the unbeliever. He's not even in the picture. There's the make-believer, the half-believer. He believes God, but not all the way. And then there's the true believer whose heart is full of the word of God and sees things through his heart, not his eyes. Okay, kingdom eyes, yeah. So we know this story. The land's too big or not big enough for Lot and Abraham to live together. And we get into the place where in your heart, that part of you that is a make-believer, that part of you that says, oh, yeah, I'll go along with Abraham, but, you know, I'm not all the way there. God didn't speak to me directly, but I want to be associated with the blessing, and sure, but I'm not fully committed. There won't be enough of you to retain that and to retain that part that God has really spoken to. And Abraham said, whichever way you go, I'll go the other way. And Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the plain that was well watered and he went there. Why did he go there? Eyesight, not heart sight. But Abraham knew wherever God put him, God would bless him. So where did he end up? And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, even the place where Lot went. I'm going to give it to you. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, the length and the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. God's renewed his promise to Abraham. Abraham separated himself from that last vestiges of disobedience for God because God told him, separate yourself from your father's house. But he brought his father. He brought his nephew along with him. But finally, he's got to that point of separation. He goes out and he says, now I will build an altar to the Lord. Now I will offer sacrifices. I will rededicate. I'll make a point. A marker in my life, and I'll say, here is where a difference, something happened. And where did he do it? Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron, which is the mountain, which is the area, the town, the city. That Caleb said, if I'm going to take any place, if I'm going to have the promise of God fulfilled in my life, where better to claim? of all the land that I walked through than that place that Abraham went and built his altar to God. I'm going there. I'm not gonna just settle for a little place. If you want the promises of God manifest in your life, yeah? You want them manifest in your life? Don't go for some little weedy kind of small promises. Oh, God said, I'll go to heaven. Oh, that's wonderful. Does it have any effect in your life? No, I'm just good and I'll go to heaven and I believe in God's promises. Well, good for you. God bless you. If that's all the land of promise that you can get, God bless you. All right? But people of faith, like Caleb, they said, hey, I want the best place. I don't want I want every promise. I want the richest historical place. I want Hebron. Do you want Hebron tonight? Or are you just happy with your little portion of the promised land? The promised land is here before you. What choice place do you want to find your faith settling down and saying, this is my mountain, get away giants? Because that's the life of a dog, you know? That's the life of the Gentiles. That's what we are. All right. So, but it's more than that. Okay. All right. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 23. And we'll just read the first few verses and the last few verses, okay? And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her, okay? All right. And verse 18, verse 17, the field of Ephron, which was in Malpilah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave that was therein, and all the trees that were in the field and all that were in the borders round about were made sure unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave at the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan, and the field and the cave which is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Who else was buried there? Abraham was buried there. Sarah was buried there. Okay? Isaac was buried there. Rebecca was buried there. Joseph was buried there. Jacob was buried there. Leah was buried there. Why were they all buried there? Okay. Brothers and sisters, you think with spiritual eyes and you say, okay, there's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a rising from the dead. God is going to come down and raise from the dust the bodies of the saints. Okay. And I'm Caleb. I'm thinking, I can pick anywhere in Israel that my feet went. You know what, where I want to be? There's an outside chance that God could be coming to raise the dead in this generation. I'm going to pick the place that if God comes down and raises up Abraham from the dead, I am going to be there to see it. I am going to be there to shake Abraham's hand. I'm going to be there to see the patriarchs rise, because if there's any place in Israel where the resurrection is going to start, it's in Hebron, and I'm going to have that. Okay? So, do you want to be in the place when the dead raise, that they're going to come in your door and shake your hand and be like, hey, something's happening. You remember me? You probably don't recognize me. I died a few years ago. I'm this brother. I'm this sister. And you're like, I planted my flag. I claimed my place in the land. And it's the place where the dead are going to rise first. Okay? So when we talk about Hebron, we're not just talking about some random mountain somewhere. Okay? It's the place of the kingdom. All right. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 2. Yeah. Saul has died, and it comes to pass after this in verse 1 that David inquires of the Lord, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" The Lord said to him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go up?" He said, "Unto Hebron." That was the start of David's kingdom, was Hebron. Okay? And he reigned there 7 years before he defeated the rest of the armies of Saul, and the kingdom was united. Okay. And so when Caleb says Hebron, there's a whole history there of this is the place of action. This is the place of God's choosing. This is the place of the beginning of the kingdom of God. So what are the promises that we have in here that we're, you know, well, I'm happy. The Lord God, you know, saved me. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. I'm in the land. Or are you like, if I'm going to be in this land, I'm going to be a Caleb. I'm going to take the biggest mountain, the most important, you know, if he was a Gentile. And I don't know if he was, but there's some evidence that says he was adopted into the tribe. I don't know how true it is. But if he was adopted, imagine that. Imagine the bold-facedness of saying, yeah, I've been adopted into this tribe. And I don't want a place on the edges. I want a place right in the middle of the history because that's how much I identify. But even if he wasn't adopted, okay? He says, somebody has to possess the burying place of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Somebody has to be in charge of that little plot of land where we're going to put Joseph's bones in there. Okay? And it may as well be me because the Lord gave me this promise and put something in my heart and he's confirmed that this is where I can stand. All right. But that's just a little bit of background because we're not really talking about Caleb. Okay? We're talking about his daughter. All right? And so let's turn to Judges chapter 1. And it's the same story repeated. One. But understand, that's the background to this, all right? This is the land that Caleb is possessing. Okay? And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. Aksa, it's... You know what that word means? That name? It means snake. Yeah, it means snake. Okay. I'll give you another translation of that word. I didn't put it in my notes. I should have, but I can pull it up. I think it's Psalms 140, but I want to check. Yeah, Psalm 140. Verse 3. Cain? Well, let's start from verse 1. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually they are gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. That word, adder, same word as her name. Okay. So, now, that's really interesting. Your father's named after a dog. You're named after a serpent. What part of the heritage of God do you have? Okay. And brothers and sisters, has anyone ever called you names for the sake of the kingdom of God? Has anyone, you know, I know it's happened to a couple of folks in here. Has anyone ever accused you of being serpent seed? Oh, you just, you know. It doesn't matter. All right? It doesn't matter what people name you. It matters the faith in your heart and what you're going to claim of the land. Yeah? So, my father was a dog and I'm a serpent. But I'm still his daughter. And I still have a part in the land. Okay? Now, something interesting here. Caleb says, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And I want to talk for a little bit about this. We live in a different society than they lived in back then. Okay? But the principles of relationship are still the same. Okay? And it's not saying my daughter's a prize for someone who can complete something. But saying my daughter is a prize for a man who is worthy of her and proves his worth by achieving something. Okay? And so, young sisters, okay? Not that I think your dad's going to give you away as a prize or anything like that, but hold yourself and say, I am here as a prize for someone who is worthy. Okay? Brothers and sisters, as Christians, hold yourselves, yeah? I am the bride of Christ. I'm here as a prize that God has considered suitable for the victor over sin and death. Okay? Nothing else would meet God's requirements that I be given to this person. He couldn't just be the victor over sin. Had to be sin and death. He couldn't just be the victor over sickness. Yeah? He had to be the victor of the whole thing in order for me to be that prize. Okay? How should we walk holding ourselves and saying, this is the value that God places on me as a son, as a daughter of God? Young sisters, how should you hold yourself in saying, this is the value I should place on myself, that I'm a worthy prize, not to drag myself in the mud to go chasing somebody, but to wait till a worthy person comes along and who proves their worthiness? Okay? Yeah, thanks for letting me have Rachel, Ron. I don't know how worthy I proved myself, but I'm glad I didn't have to capture a city for her. But you understand. And young men, okay? Your future wife is your prize when you have proved yourself worthy. You think about, and it's kind of funny, okay? There's Jacob. Remember when we were talking about Jacob and Rachel? Okay? He lives in his mum's tents till he's 40. Yeah? Runs away to his father-in-law, or, you know, his future father-in-law, falls madly in love and is like, oh, I'm going to prove myself by working hard. Yeah? There's no record that he did anything worthwhile in the physical, you know. He did hold on to the promise, but he didn't do anything worthwhile till he met a beautiful lady and wanted to marry her and was like, oh, I guess I ought to prove myself worthy of marrying this daughter. Okay? So, young men, prove yourself worthy. Okay? Start building. Don't stay in the tents of your mother. Yeah? Till you meet the wife and then start working. Work before then. Okay? So you get a head start. So, but here's the thing. This is what I love. All right. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. All right. And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him, Othniel, to ask of her father a field. So she said, hey, Dad, I'm not going to be part of your family anymore. I'm going to start a new family. I'm a prize that's being captured now, if you like, by a man that's worthy of starting a new family with, starting a new foundation. Says, but before I go, I want you to give me something. I want you to give me some land. And he's like, he gave her the land. And brothers and sisters, we are in a position where the Lord has given us the land. And any part of this that you want, the Lord will give you. You just have to ask him. Father, you won this land by faith, and it's a precious land. It's not just any old land. It's a historic land. And you know, my husband might move away, but I want a possession near where Abraham's going to rise. Will you give it to me? Boldness. And he said, sure. And brothers and sisters, I hope we have some boldness to ask for the land. But you know, the land isn't enough. And she looked at the land, she said, that's not enough. Because if I just have the land, I'm not going to be able to grow anything. She says, hey, Dad, give me some springs too. Now, springs, wells of water in the Bible, that's something that nations fought over. And if the world continues, eventually they will fight over fresh water again. Okay? The River Jordan. Israel would probably use nuclear weapons if people cut it off from fresh water. Because that's life and death right there for all your people. That's how serious it was. You remember the Philistines and Abraham had contended over water. All right? This is the real valuable stuff. It's like, Father, just give me the land isn't enough. Give me the water as well. And with that boldness and confidence, okay, He said, I won't just give you one spring. I'll give you the upper and the lower springs. They're there for you. There's more water than you'll be able to. There's enough water that you'll be able to give to others. There's enough water that fountains of water will flow out from your lands and feed others. Okay? And it's interesting, isn't it, that there was another woman searching for water. And Jesus said to her, he that believes on me, fountains of living water shall flow up. And so you may have the promises in a dry book. Yeah? But we know the letter killeth, that the spirit giveth life. All right? We know it's that combination of the land and the water that's going to bring up the seed into the harvest. It's not just one. You've got to have both. And you've got to have confidence, sisters, to ask of your Father, hey, my life's a bit dry. I see these promises. I believe you've given them to me. But I don't see a green shoot. I don't see a green leaf anywhere. I'm dry. I'm not living according to what I see in the book of Acts. I'm not living according to what I hear in the messages. There's something lacking. I believe every promise. I know they're there for me, but why aren't they coming to life? Have you forgotten to ask of your Father, not just for the land, but for the springs too? To be active and flowing inside you, to be pouring over that land, to be soaking into it and turn it from a waste desert into, well, how many have seen those nature videos where it's like, there's the desert and it's been this way for 4 or 5 years since the last time the rains rolled over the plains. Like, and here comes the thunderstorm and it sweeps across the land. Like 3 days later, there's flowers everywhere. There's life everywhere. Okay? Like, this is what we need. Okay? This is what's going to move us from hope into faith. Is that spirit, that living water bringing us life. And this great woman of the Bible. You know, she was such an inspiration that the first judge was her husband. That was how worthy he was. Othniel was the first judge recorded in the book of Judges. Okay? Jesus has springs in abundance. Jesus has promises in abundance. He has the Spirit. And he has the Word in abundance. Have you asked the Father to give you the promise? And have you asked the Father to give you the springs? Have you had the boldness to say, I'm not satisfied? Okay, yeah. Listen to this. All right? Have you had the boldness to go to God? The Muslims had a phrase, Inshallah. You know what that means? Inshallah, the will of Allah. Okay? And so it's, you know how Paul says, you know, don't go to this city or say, I'll go to this city. Say, you go there if God is willing. Okay? And that's a good principle. We shouldn't say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. We should say, if the Lord is willing, I'll do this, if he gives me strength. But they don't mean it in that way. They mean, whatever comes on you, whatever happens, inshallah, it's God's will. Okay? It's God's will. And that means you have a daughter who's born that's a cripple. Well, that's God's will. You have a son who goes into a hospital. Like, well, if he dies, it's God's will. If he lives, it's God's will. Inshallah. Okay? Whatever happens is God's will, and God knows best. So, inshallah. I take my hands off of it. But God didn't say that. God said, ho everyone that is thirsty in spirit. Ho everyone that is weary and sad. Come to the fountain. Fullness in Jesus. All that you're longing for, come and be glad. I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I will pour floods out upon the dry land. Open your hearts to the gift I am bringing. While you are seeking me, I shall be found. And he said, while you're seeking me, which means you're going to recognize places in your life where God is missing. You're going to recognize things in your life that aren't the way you want them to be. And you're not going to sit there and say, inshallah, oh, God willed it to be this way. There's nothing I can do about it. But you're going to say, I can seek God. Life situations by him are amendable. And I've said it before because I love it so much. There are amendments to the Constitution. We don't quite like the way that's written. We're going to put in an amendment to change it. We think you should have put this in instead of that. We're going to amend the Constitution. Okay? Your life situations are amendable. If you don't like something, take it to God and say, God, I have a proposal for an amendment to my sister's life. She's in pain and I wish to amend it so she's not in pain. I have a proposal for an amendment to my brother's life. He's not saved. I wish to propose an amendment that he becomes saved. Lord, will you amend this situation? Not inshallah, oh, yeah, God, it must be your will. Okay? So if you're missing something in your life, it's because God has something for you. Now, go and ask him. Hey, God, you giving me a piece of dry ground? I like the ground. It's very nice. I like the promises. They're very good. But I'm not satisfied until I see the fruit come to life. And I know that the promises on their own are not enough. Give me the springs. Are you going to follow in the footsteps of this great woman of faith? Are you going to be like Aksa and say, Lord, Father, you give me a field, give me the springs. Do you have the confidence that God loves you enough that he's going to say, sure, I'm going to give you all the springs, the upper springs and the nether springs. They're all yours, my darling. Go and enjoy. Okay? Or are you just going to be, oh, man, should I even ask for the field? Should I even ask for this? Because it's something that's holy. It's something that's sacred. It's great people have trod here. Great promises have been made manifest. And me, well, my dad's name's a dog, and he's kind of taken over in Israel, and he called me a snake, and I don't think I should really ask for anything. Or are you going to say, no, I'm a prize worth having. My dad loves me enough that he said, anyone that wants to marry me has to conquer a city. Again, thank you, Ron, because that would have been difficult in this day and age. God gave you to Jesus Christ. And he said, if you want the bride, if you want redemption, here's the price you have to pay. It makes you feel a bit worthy. Father, give me the promise. Father, give me the springs. And that, brothers and sisters, that is why I got excited tonight. about what you can unfold from a little insight. We have the land, we have the springs. We just got to say, Lord, put them together in my heart, that my faith can grow and produce the fruits that you want. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love, and that your word is lovely and exciting and shows us things that we have available to us. Father, may we have the courage to come to you and to not stop knocking on your door till you give us the land and you give us the springs and we can produce the new life. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. If I've said anything amiss, bring it to your light. But Lord, may you encourage us tonight with your words to come into a place of faith where we can take the promises and not just see them as cold promises in a land buried long ago that great men of old had, but something that's alive today in the place of the resurrection. We have a possession that's been given to us of our Father, and it's not a lifeless possession. It's a possession with springs of water. May we claim them, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons. Okay, hold on a second. Sister Karen's making a face at me. Give me both, Brother Don. There's, well, what do we have? Try an F. Everything's an F here, so. There shall be blessing. This is the promise of love. Oh, there shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we one more thing. All right. Brother Greg, God bless you. All right. I have a confession to make about Brother Greg. Okay. He ministers and he stands at the front and he says, is there anyone here who has a need of prayer? Okay? You can come forward, you can pray. All right? And sometimes I'm like, oh, I should come forward, but I don't want to. No, I'm looking after the kids and, you know. And I question myself and I say, by not coming forward for prayer, have I robbed myself of blessings that God is trying to give me? You understand? All right. Remember, Asna got off her donkey as she was going away, and she ran back. And you have to do something as a statement of faith if you want to receive from God. Okay? Now, I don't care what it is. All right? But we have a habit here in this fellowship, yeah, of just sitting still. When God is calling, just to say, that's probably someone else. All right? If we want to get to a place of faith, we need to start becoming active when God is calling. To stand to your feet, to come forward. We've got a nice little space here. People rarely sit on the front row anyway. We're empty. Pray after church. Yeah? Do something. If you want something, you have to do something. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't sit on your seats and do nothing. When God is calling to your heart. Okay? I put that before you to say, start standing up, start coming forward, start praying. Okay? Please. Lord knows, you know, I'm probably one of the most, how shall I put it? One of the people that cares the least what other people think of me in this fellowship. Okay? Doesn't worry me that much what you think of me. But if I feel that pressure sitting on my seat, oh, I shouldn't go forward, and I don't, yeah? Are there other people that feel that same way? I think so. All right? And I hope you can, don't be like me, yeah? If you feel that you should do something, do it. Stand up, cry, sing, lift your hands, praise the Lord. Manifest something if you want something. Okay? I hope you don't mind me saying that, but if you want to move, yeah, from hope to faith, you need to bring that activity into your life somehow. Right? What better place to bring it than here? Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, help us to get out of ourselves. Help us to get out of the mindsets that we've lived in for too long. Help us to get out of the habits that we've fallen into as a church, as a body of believers. The habits that we've fallen into as individuals, as believers, help us to change, to break free from shackles we may not even be aware of. Help us, Lord, to let your Spirit have free rein in us and be willing to respond to your slightest call, that we can get down off of our donkeys, daily business, go back to you and say, hey, Father, give me the springs of let them spring up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. Hold on a second. Brother Don is going to come and dismiss us in a word of prayer. What can I pray for you?